going to be about the U.S. Army's newly implemented U.S. military recruiting, Army recruiting preparatory type program for would-be recruits. This is really coming out of a response to questions I had asked today about this topic. According to this right here, this is a TRADOC website, it gives a lot of information about the U.S. Army recruiting preparatory program. And it basically talks about how if a would-be recruit for the U.S. Army does not qualify based upon the ASVAB score, which is kind of like the intellectual part of the recruitment process, or the physical standards test, which is constantly changing these days in the Army. They're constantly modifying this, that basically they will potentially for certain eligible would-be recruits, allow them to go to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for a preparatory program for a period of time. Now, these would-be recruits can go to Fort Jackson, South Carolina for approximately 90 days or 3 months for physical and or intellectual like preparatory programming related to like ASVAB. It looks like they are putting a lot of resources into it, and it is in direct response, essentially, they've acknowledged on this website to the, as they put it, challenging recruiting environment situation. I have a lot of different thoughts on this. One of the thoughts I have is that, you know, number one, I think, wow, how bad are public schools that people can't even pass an ASVAB now at a minimum standard to go into the U.S. military potentially, as well as physical fitness the same. I know when I was in public school, my gym class was a complete joke. Fortunately, I was a student athlete, so I never had any kind of physical limitations or issues back in the day when I was a young adult. Quite the opposite. I was very, 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 very healthy, very, very, very physically fit as a kid. And as a young adult. And I had no problem passing the ASVAB the first time with flying colors, like no issues at all. And I went to a horrible, horrible public school. I went to several horrible public schools in a couple of different states. It sounds to me, based upon what I'm reading here, that and what I've been looking at the research, that the public schools have literally deteriorated and gotten even worse than what they were when I was in years ago in public school. That's really scary for the whole country when you think about it. You know, like, that's a serious issue. But that seems to be what's happening. So the U.S. Army appears to be pouring in a lot of resources into this recruitment pipeline program to prep would-be recruits. And I will say, I think on one level, it's kind of admirable because of the fact that, it, you know, if you were not physically fit enough or strong enough physically, mentally, you know, intellectually, able to pass the ASVAB, I mean, this is something that could be a really good opportunity for a lot of people out there that are in that situation to become physically stronger, to become intellectually more capable with being able to pass something like the ASVAB and just learn, you know, the information. Because the stuff that they're doing is basically education. They're giving basic education, it sounds like, training at these recruitment camps over at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. So that seems like a really positive thing for people that clearly need it. You know, they've been pre-qualified and pre-screened it, and they need this. They need this, and they're otherwise qualified, is what I read here. Now, the flip side of this, and this is kind of just my personal thoughts and opinions, is just that I increasingly, as the years have gone on, and even with this, question and doubt that the same amount of commitment from the U.S. government is going toward the young adult mentorship, youth mentorship in America, and also of education and fitness training and all these things, and effort into bringing up public schools into a way that actually helps the whole country have much more qualified, educated, fit people that are ready to really make this country amazing and always possible. That's a big concern because I see all this money being poured in to like Department of Defense and military contracts and now this recruit prep program, but I don't see the same effort being put into American communities and American public schools. And so I have an issue with that. On the TRADOC.army.mil website here is where I'm getting the source from. It says, in response to the most challenging recruiting environment since the start of the all-volunteer force in 1973, the Army is implementing an innovative new program to prepare recruits who are en route to initial military training to meet or exceed our rigorous standards. So I'd heard about this through word of mouth already, but now I'm just reading about it for the first time today. I already read it today. This is the second time I'm reading it. And they call it the Future Soldier Preparatory Course Pilot Program. Now, I no longer think it's a pilot program, not unless they just want to call it that, because it sounds like it's been happening now for a while. It's was set to start early August at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, to overcome academic and physical fitness barriers so that they can earn the opportunity to join the Army. And it said that at the time of writing this and publishing it, the U.S. Army had already identified approximately 2,000 applicants who may be eligible to participate in this prep course. The Army will initially run the Future Soldier Prep Course as a pilot program and will review results in the early part of fiscal year 2023, which that would be right now, to determine if the course was effective and should become permanent. I think it's going to become permanent because the recruiting issues have only increased. They're not getting better. The Future Soldier Prep course allows recruits to meet all other qualifications for enlistment, a path to serve, said one of the generals, basically, that's in charge of this whole training and doctrine, whatever command. Well, the percentage of young Americans meeting Army enlistment standards has decreased markedly over the past four decades. So they were anticipating this was going to happen back when I was joining, and it was already happening, so it's just increasing. It says only 23% of young Americans fully meet the Army's eligibility requirements, down from 29% in recent years. 29% is also very low. They're blaming COVID for stuff still about recruitment, which I don't buy. Great detail about this program. It says this course is one of many approaches the Army is taking to invest in America's young people. I will acknowledge it is an investment in young people, what they're doing. I do credit them for that. You know what I mean? Like, it is a substantial investment in resources to house and to feed and to educate and to basically give personal trainers to all of these people who need them. I mean, that's a huge financial resource investment. That's a huge investment of manpower to pull that off in any kind of capacity. Even if you were talking about 2,000 people, that's a lot of people. They have some propaganda about how great it is to join and da-da-da, whatever. The more nitty-gritty detail calling the pilot course includes two separate tracks, a fitness program and an educational program for recruits who need help improving their scores on the Armed Forces Qualification Test, AFQT. Recruits with an ASVAB, which is what I keep calling because that's what I know it as, score of 21 to 30 may only participate in the academic track. So that means, I guess, their score is so low that they need to focus just on academics and nothing else, because it's going to be quite the trial and tribulation to get them up to speed. Recruits with an ASVAB score between 42 to 49 may be allowed to voluntarily participate in both tracks, so physical and the academic. The fitness portion prior to basic combat training and the academic portion following basic training. So it sounds like you might be able to go basic combat training and do that and then like do the academic stuff afterwards, kind of my understanding. So that's really different. Individuals in both tracks are projected to remain in the Future Soldier, whatever, FSPC for a maximum of 90 days. Okay, so they're capping it at 90 days, it sounds like, with opportunities every 3 weeks to leave the program and shift to basic training if they meet or exceed the Army's desired accession standards. As part of the pre-enlistment process, all trainees will still have to take basically the physical fitness test and on and on and on. Anyways, and it talks about basically how they can like renegotiate their contract based upon their new elevated potential based upon those tests, academics, and the physical fitness standards. It's the tradoc.army.mil website. I can't see the full length link at all. LinkedIn. So, you know, I'll go ahead and just share the link on LinkedIn, and you can find me. My handle is GoVanessa, G-O-Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A. And so you can find me there if you want to follow me there and check out the link. There's no way for me to share it on here. It's too long. I did direct message it to somebody today that was inquiring about it. People were actually going ahead and doing this. I'd heard through word of mouth that it was already happening, but now actually reading about it on the website, I had not researched it up until today personally because I had no reason to do so. You know, I just have a lot of thoughts about all this. You know, I think that the Army is the best of the branches to join, honestly, because you get to get a contract up front and your job up front and you can negotiate that. The problem is just the lack of accurate information and what people are and are not told to be unable to make potentially informed decisions. I know that was my experience. As recent as 2020, I'd actually looked into going back into the military to assist people with mental health because of my work experience and credentials related to that. And I realized upon my research, was able to make a very informed choice not to join. And decided not to join the Reserve and Guard. I'd been an active duty private previously, I decided not to do it because I realized that they were still stigmatizing mental health like no other. It seemed like it was worse than before. It seemed like the recruiting situation was a total and complete disaster in across multiple states, because I looked in a few different states because of my own situation. And I realized that it was not something like I wanted to be a part of, because the culture had not shifted in a way that I felt was conducive to anyone's health, really. From being exposed to the military situation ongoing and whatnot in different capacities, that I found to be a pretty toxic, unhealthy, dysfunctional situation that has really personally and professionally adversely impacted me in various ways. Some people have really great experiences, and it's just a thing for them, and that's really great. I'm really happy for anyone that does, and a lot of people don't. And so there's a lack of concern, I do know for sure, about what happens to people after they join the military and what their experiences are. You know, I dealt with a lot of abuse and a lot of systemic discrimination when I was in the military, specifically on the basis of gender, when I was in the military in both the Air Force and the Army. And, you know, that really adversely impacted me in the short and the long term. And I could not wait to wrap up that military contract, and I did. I was honorably discharged. I completed the contract. I was under a lot of pressure to extend and renew. I chose not to. I was insistent on not doing it. I have no regrets about that. I'm grateful I got out. There's a lot of issues, though, with the Department of Defense treating people, like, very aggressively, getting them in the military, and then being very abusive to certain people once they're in the military, and then also disposing of them once they view their natural, like, life cycle has ended for the purpose of the military's wants and desires, essentially, and the congressional wants and desires. It's a problem, to say the least. And if anyone gets injured, then they have to deal with Veterans Health Administration, which is literally hell on earth. It is. All right, that's it for today.